Would you like to see the big guy, the skipper, the head honcho?
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Captain.
You're listening to Morning Joe with the CEO.
Good morning, Rhoda. It is Thursday, August 14th, 7:04, and what a wonderful day because it is the second Morning Joe with the CEO. We have Captain Charles Shimlack in studio. How are you doing today, sir?
Great. Thanks for asking. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm excited. It's first day back for me, so this is actually like an amazing day to come back right into the big show.
Welcome back. I'm glad we could celebrate that with you today.
Thank you. Speaking of celebrations, you've had your last time you were here for your first show, your family was coming the next day. How's that been so far?
It's been fantastic. I think I share that with everyone. When your family finally arrives, it's an exciting day. And then, of course, you quickly settle in. And as we patiently wait for our goods to arrive, we're making the best of life here on good Naval Station Rota, taking advantage of all the wonderful things that our community has to offer. We finished ICR yesterday and took the children on the field trip to see the beautiful town of Rota. And so now they're sleeping in, getting ready for the start of the school year.
Are they excited for school?
Absolutely. They've been able to meet a lot of friends, go to the pool, try some swimming and some of the other activities for the children, and they've been able to meet some of the kids in the neighborhood, and now they have a good friend group to start the year with and build off of as they continue through the rest of the year, making more friends and joining the community that we all love to call home.
That's super exciting, and it's awesome you coming on Thursday because Randy Lambert comes in. He's school liaison, and it always seems very well connected what they do for the kids, so I think they're in great hands.
Yeah, Randy's a community treasure.
Yeah. It's a wealth of information, and he's so committed. Like, we've been in the summer, and he's just, they never stop. And then speaking of summer, I mean, it's first month for you guys. Have you guys done anything fun? Traveled? Other than settling in and...
Road has been fun.
Yeah.
Just exploring the base has been fun. We enjoy the beach and the pool and the movies, the bowling alley, all the things that, you know, we can do locally. You know, we have a young child, and so, you know, keeping everyone entertained and active has been the goal. So we haven't spent a whole lot of time traveling. We've just been getting used to the neighbors and trying to just get caught up on sleep. I think the jet lag took a lot longer for them than we had anticipated. But of course, you know, I typically have a full work day, of course, and trying to keep family life and the balance there is, I think, a challenge for all of us. But it's been great. And they're super excited to be here for another 3 years.
It's incredible. And you're no longer, I see you sit there right there with your two phones. Who knows how busy those both get. Personal.
Sometimes not at all, and sometimes very.
You were talking about your kids getting into school. We have some special guests that are going to be in studio. You have another kid, correct? Little.
I do have three children.
And that's then right. You also have a fourth.
That's right. That's right. Our first young person was our dog named Maddie, and it's a Chihuahua Terrier mix, and she's been amazing. About 9 years old. Actually, 10 years old. But we got her as a small puppy from a rescue event, and she's blessed our lives for now just about half my career.
That's amazing.
And most of my marriage. And served as the practice ground for leading into children and learning some responsibility. But, you know, she's been an amazing animal, and we're happy and glad she's still around.
We just mentioned two metrics that come from our special guest, so I'm excited. We're going to get into them very shortly, but before that, we got
That's right. Beautiful segue.
It's perfect. Who let the dogs out here on AFN Road, the Eagle?
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out by the Baja Man here on AFN Road, the Eagle? And speaking of who let the dogs out, we have some special guests in studio. Pets are a big part of your family, so we've got the best guests. We have someone from Raw, that is Miss Leia.
Leah.
I practiced it three times. And Kenny?
Yes.
And also Captain Dylan Bryson here in studio. How are you two doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I'm excited because I have two cats and a dog, so I'm here to listen and learn.
It's too early. The coffee hasn't started, but we're getting there.
It's Morning Joe with the CEO, so I'm glad you guys have some Joe in hand.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today. I think we can start with Leah. Could you share a little bit about yourself and how you found how you came to this point of volunteering at the RAWL.
Thank you. So we just moved here in September of last year from Virginia. My husband's on one of the ships. When I'm back in the States, I do theater, but here I hang out with my dogs. Just to stay at home with my two corgis. And I saw some posts online for volunteering at RAWL, so I ended up going to an orientation. I started volunteering a lot, and then they asked me if I wanted to be on the board, and I said sure. So now I'm their adoption coordinator, and I just really enjoy getting to see pets. Not pets, but animals every single day when I go in.
So you volunteered, and that escalated quickly.
It did. It escalated. Yeah. I love animals. My husband did say, though, not to bring any pets home. We have two.
Do you sometimes take them home for a short while, maybe a fostering situation?
No, unfortunately.
Okay. And then Dylan.
Yes, sir.
Captain, United States Army.
O3 type.
Right. Welcome. Yes. And you are representing the Army presence on Naval Station Rota.
Yep. So I've seen like one other Army captain on the post in the entire time that I've been here, 2 years. So, but it's just me and my team of about six. We fluctuate a little bit, but me and six Army guys.
Okay. And could you tell us a little bit about who the Veterinarian Treatment Center treats?
Cool. So, me personally, I'll treat just about anything. If you've got a horse or a cow, you know, maybe a gerbil or a lizard, they can come see me. But dogs and cats are our mainstay. That's what most people bring. But Spain's pretty good to us, so we'll treat just about anything.
Good. So a new family who's PCS and they've brought their animal, they can expect to come to the base facility to have their animal treated.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, can they get medicine from the office as well, or do they have to go in town?
So for the most part, we carry everything that I like to prescribe and that my other doctor likes to prescribe. But there is some medication that's a little bit specialized that we'll refer you out in town to get. It's a pretty easy process, and we'll walk you through it if we ever come to that.
Okay, so if our animal happens to have a prescription for something and you don't offer it because it's largely a U.S. prescription, you could either find an alternative or just give the recommendation or the referral to go out in town.
Yeah, absolutely. So Spain has most of the drugs that I would prescribe in America or an equivalent if I don't carry it in the clinic.
Okay, great. Do you do emergency services?
I do not have extensive capacity for emergency services. What I tell people most of the time is if I'm your closest vet, call me as you're driving to me, and I'll tell you where to go if I can't help you.
Okay. Let's talk about RAWL.
All right.
What is it? Where is it on base?
So I'm horrible with directions, but it is when you come in through the Fuentevervilla gate,
yeah,
and you go to the left and keep going down, you will see a big sign that says RAWL. And RAWL is the Rota Animal Welfare League, and essentially we will take in animals. If people are not able to take them with their PCSing, we take sometimes out on the town if other shelters need help with some of the animals if they're full. And we have a facility that we have a limited facility, but we do try to take in animals on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. About how many animals do you have there now?
So right now, I believe we have about 4 or 5 dogs.
Okay.
And then we have, right now we're a little low on cats, which is good. I think we have about 4 right now, and then 2 or 3 on the other side of the, there's a, what's the word? I apologize. But anyways, we have about 6 cats.
Okay.
Total.
Are there any other types of animals that have been offered?
Not that I'm aware of. We will not take in other animals. We typically, it's just cats and dogs. We keep it simple.
So if someone finds a wounded animal, who do they call?
That's a great question,
that
sir.
That's a great question.
So if you find a wounded stray animal, then technically you can call the Spanish police.
Okay.
Spain has claimed the rights to all of the feral or stray animals. So technically we're not supposed to, me being the American vet, is not supposed to mess with them. If they're dying and I'm your closest vet, I'll probably help you.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell anyone.
Okay. So let's talk about volunteers. At RAL, who is the ideal volunteer?
It can really be anyone that has some afternoon time to come in. Typically, volunteers come in but around 3-ish. They'll come in and feed the animals, walk them. We also have some shifts as well. If you need to come in the morning to walk dogs, you can do that as well.
Okay.
Anybody with a little bit of time that can come in for volunteer orientation, which we typically have on, that is, every Wednesday. So you can sign up for it online.
So what time on Wednesday should someone come by after they sign up online?
It is a great question.
So someone with a bit of, so anyone who has some time is invited to volunteer at the RAL, and you will accommodate the time they have and put them to good use.
Yes, we will.
Excellent. And at the VTF, can people volunteer there as well?
So you can volunteer at the VTF. We are pretty full staff right now.
Okay.
If you're interested in volunteering, come talk to me, and we'll work through the nuances of that. There's a lot of paperwork that you have to fill out in order to volunteer at the vet, just due to the inherent quote-unquote rabies risk.
Right.
That we experience as a veterinary practitioner. But if you're interested, absolutely come by and talk to me, and we'll talk about it.
So there's a question on the streets. Can you volunteer at the RAL as a child? And what age would you have to be?
Yes. So children are able to volunteer. I believe they need to be with parents. I believe there's not a specific age limit, but they do need to have a parent with them. Like, we obviously wouldn't need anybody from 1 to 3 years old. That's a bit much, but as long as we have a child with the parent, they are able to come in and volunteer.
Okay, so under parent supervision, children can volunteer at the RAL.
Yes.
Do they also need to attend the orientation?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a parent and kid.
So if for all those special listeners out there, if you are a well-behaved child who is attentive to their parent and can sit through the orientation, then there is an opportunity to volunteer at the RAL.
It's amazing. Do you have an animal, being a vet, being around?
Yes. So as a veterinarian, I am obligated to have at least one dog or cat. not really. But I do have a dog named Pepper that many of you will probably know from ICR. She's a wonderful dog.
What type?
She is my best guess is a German Shepherd / Border Collie, or a German Shepherd and Australian Shepherd mix.
It's a nice mutt. Good.
She is beautiful. Not a mutt.
No, good mixture.
You.
No, good mixture. Mutts are good. So now we have a Chihuahua Terrier, two Corgis, and German Shepherd mixed with some kind of combination.
Yeah.
My wife and I have an American Bulldog, and they're all hungry like the wolf. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Morning Joe with the CEO, Captain Shimlack, here with our awesome, esteemed guest. We have Leah. Did I say that correctly?
It's Leah.
Okay. Oh, I just
it's
said
early.
It there,
it's
too.
Early.
No,
that's strike two, by
I'm
the way.
I'm never going to forget that. We have our beloved veterinarian on base. We're talking PCS.
Yes. So, let's talk about PCS. I know it's a hot topic during a hot season.
Very
and
well.
A lot of travel. So, for our families out there across the world who may be PCSing to Rota, let's talk about that. What should they be thinking about? What should they be doing?
Awesome. So PCSing to Rota is fairly easy. After you've got all your paperwork and your dog is here, that's really the hardest part. And most of that's coordination with your vet over in the States or wherever you're coming from. The easy part is after you get here, you need to complete an intake form with the VTF here on base. If you run into me at ICR, I'll probably give you the intake form there. You can stop by our office anytime we're open, and our lovely front desk lady will give you the intake form. Or if we happen to be closed when you stop by the clinic, there is a drop box right by our front little glass door, if you look to your right, and that will have all the intake forms and a drop box for you to put them in after you've completed that. After you've completed the intake form, we can schedule you for an EU passport appointment, one of the EU/Spanish requirements, or you can go out in town, and we'll kind of direct you after you complete the intake form. But that's the biggest thing.
All right. So once they arrive, is there any restrictions on where you can walk your dog or cat on a leash?
That is a great question. So one of the – basically the only thing that you need to watch for is signs that are posted for no animals. Right now, specifically in the summer times, most dogs and cats are not allowed on beaches due to the tourists being around. But the signs are pretty well posted. It looks like a dog with an X through it. And the times are posted in Spanish, but they're relatively easy to translate.
And at the RAL, have we seen any increase of animals or decrease? Have people been adopting because they've arrived and realized they missed their furry friends?
Actually, yes, we've had quite a few cats adopted. I know I was out of town, but I got all these messages saying that we had about 4 cats find homes in a span of like a day. So I was really happy and really impressed. Really sad I didn't get to tell them goodbye, but happy they found a home.
So yes. can you describe the animals that are up for adoption now?
I can for a few of them. So we have a German Shepherd named Hercules. He's about 10, I believe. He's looking for a pretty laid-back home. He'll just sit around and want pets and belly rubs, all the attention. We have Jack and Renee. I believe they're not quite ready for adoption, but they're getting there. And one of them is a Belgian Malinois mix, and the other is a hound mix. And they're just both full of energy and love to run around. They like playing with the water hose. And then with the cats, I think what cats we have left. I know Ash is supposed to be adopted soon. And then we have Tucker, who is a black and white cat. Tuxedo, he's really cute and adorable. And then we have Tepig. And it's Tepig and Gumball. They live together. They're the two. They look like two little grumpy old men living together in their little kennel. But they're looking for homes. Gumball's a little more independent. Tepig absolutely loves attention and would do better with another cat. So we're hoping they'll go as a pair.
Are the dogs and cats kid friendly, or would you recommend them to an older home?
So they are kid-friendly. Those that are up for adoption are kid-friendly. We would want people to bring in their children with them to see how they interact and see if it's a good fit.
Okay, match the energy.
Yes.
Good. And it seems, okay, so a couple animals left. When you're low on animals, and I don't know how to put this, do you work with partnerships in town to bring animals to have them adopted?
Yes. We do have some that we will talk to some. They'll reach out to us via social media, text, email, about pets that they do have. And our president or people from the board will go meet with them and meet the animal. And then we all kind of vote on a social media platform if this pet is a good fit for RAL.
So if someone's looking for a type of pet or a pet with a certain personality, can they ask you to go find one for them, perhaps? Maybe like a matchmaking service?
Not necessarily, but we will. Like, if someone comes in and they tell us what they're looking for, we'll try to guide them the best direction with, like, what, like, if there's a dog that's low energy, like Hercules, and someone's like, I really want an older dog, I want a laid-back dog, we'd be like, you need to meet Hercules.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if someone finds themselves in the unfortunate situation where perhaps their life circumstances change, they can't take care of their pet, can they bring it to RAL?
Yes, they can bring it to RAL.
And could they bring it to the VTF and then have them referred to RAL? Or?
So we, for the most part at the VTF, don't have the capacity to do adoptions. So I have had some people who have come into the clinic, and I will refer them to the off-post shelters or to RAL to kind of bridge that gap if they're unable to take care of their animals.
Okay. Does RAL do other things with animals in terms of if you are an animal lover and you're looking to perhaps do recreational activities like horse riding, do you connect people with those activities? Do you have those networks as well, or are you largely concerned with animal welfare as it stands?
So we don't have connections with like horseback riding lessons, that kind of thing. I'm sure somebody at RAL would know, be able to guide you in the right direction for that.
And I know the MWR,
plug
for them, absolutely has those connections. But sometimes there's interesting tie-ins.
But we are mainly focused on the well-being of the animals and bringing in animals and making sure we find them good homes.
Let's talk about heat and animals.
Yes.
What have you seen that maybe people should be more considerate of during this hot weather?
Not walking their dog on a 100-degree pavement. Please. Hurts me.
Yes, so especially with the higher temperatures, your furry friends who are wearing a lovely fur coat are at more of a risk to heat catting or having a heat injury from the heat. So walking your dog in the morning before the sun comes up or the late evening when it's a lot cooler will be a lot safer. And obviously the hot concrete can cause some pretty severe paw pad injuries, so keep an eye on that and walk them in the dirt if you can.
All right. So PCSing, I know, can sometimes be a contentious topic. So if someone is overseas right now coming through, what should they be thinking about to bring your pet over via travel?
So you're talking someone bringing their pet from somewhere else to Spain still?
Right.
Okay. So the biggest and most important thing to do is always keep your animal's vaccinations up to date, specifically with the rabies vaccine. If you don't keep that one up to date, then most of the time it's a pretty extensive process to get them back on track before they can travel. Spain is pretty generous with the requirements, so you only have to worry about the rabies. There are some other places on this earth, like Japan or Guam, where there's way more specific requirements. And if we cross that bridge, then just come talk to me and we'll walk through those.
So are there pets that service members and families are not allowed to bring in?
So Spain does have a list of quote-unquote dangerous breed dogs. That's not to say that they're not allowed. It's just that if you bring one, you have to do a lot more paperwork and a lot more registration with the Spanish government. Those are going to be your pit bulls, your Rottweilers, your Inus.
American Bulldogs.
American Bulldogs. And after you complete your intake form and your dog looks like that, we'll walk you through that process at the BTF. But there's no quote-unquote off-limit dogs. You just have to do the extensive registration.
It is a process.
So let's talk about donations to the RAL. Mm-hmm. Can people make monetary or physical donations? Are there things you're looking for?
Yes, you can make donations. You can either buy cash or Navy. We have a Navy Fed account. Oh. If you want to just give money, that's great. Any little bit of that helps. And then we also have a donation bin outside of our building as well. And right now I know that we are looking to get some wet dog food and wet cat food, but anything is welcome.
What about old blankets or towels?
Old blankets and towels are always helpful. Cat kitty litter. They always have a sale going on at the commissary.
Okay.
So, yeah, those kind of things.
So there are other ways to help besides volunteering. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone doesn't have exactly the right amount of time, but you can also still contribute.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about the VTF? Is there anything people can do to directly support?
So we don't have a long-term care plan for animals. So for the most part, if we get donations, we'll most likely give them to RAL because they're going to be the people that are taking care of animals in the more long-term. If we do have an inpatient and we really don't need a lot of donations, to be honest with you. But if anyone's interested in donating something, most likely we'll transfer that over to RAL.
Okay. Probably a more sad topic, but we all know sometimes our pets reach end of life. Does the VTF provide that care?
Yes. So if you have a dog or cat that is reaching end of life, we will provide those services to you. We also have a relationship with the Spanish to be able to provide cremation services, urns, and other things for end-of-life care for your pets.
If your dog just happens to be sick, but many more useful years ahead of them, can they stay overnight at the VTF, or would you refer them in town?
So for the most part, if we're going to do overnight care, you'll be referred out in town. There's some very specific scenarios where I wouldn't do that, but for the most part, you'll be referred out in town.
Okay. Pet insurance. Is that an option for military members and their families and civilians overseas?
Yes. So pet insurance is an option. USAA and a couple other American insurance providers actually do provide pet insurance. there are pet insurance options available in the Spanish community, especially for our dangerous breed dogs. If you need any pointers in that, please feel free to stop by the VTF and we'll kind of point you in the right direction.
All right.
It's amazing stuff. The dangerous breed thing is very... It's that they don't exclude the dog. So I like that you touch base with that on Spain. But so, it is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so for our dangerous breeds, as of right this second, they are banned from the installation unless you're coming to the VTF for veterinary service. But Spain itself does not ban them. So if you live out in town, you're good, but you're not supposed to have them on base.
I did not know that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. And Captain Bryson, I just want to go back to what you said earlier. I'm still chuckling inside internally about how you could look at horses. So it's like, imagine PCS and look at a horse. That would have been a crazy process.
I haven't seen a horse out here yet, but I do see horses as a veterinarian, but probably not as a military veterinarian.
It's amazing stuff. We're going to take a quick song break. We mentioned that there's a hound in Raw. We're going to listen to Hound Dog, Elvis Presley here on AFN Roar the Eagle.
You ain't nothing but...
We're back, Morning Joe with the CEO, and we're about to get into a very heavy, hard topic. PCSing out. A lot of news. Captain Bryson, I know you're probably aware. Captain Shimlan, Leah, finally said
it.
I'm very excited and also anxious to hear about this. So we're on PCS till 2028.
So I know that there are families out there who are looking to PCS very soon, and there has been the announcement that the rotator will end. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So the rotator was a great and very easy transition point for service members to be able to get their pets back to the States. So the support will now be on the commercial airlines to provide us that service. Not an issue, but it does require a little bit more paperwork on our end, so you need to give us a little bit more lead time as you PCS or transition out of Spain. And what does that look like? So as soon as you know that you're going to PCS, please let me know or someone at the VTF know, and keep your animals' vaccines up to date. Spain has requirements where if your dog's rabies has lapsed, then sometimes it will require two rabies vaccines. So one vaccine, you have to wait 21 days, and then another vaccine before they're able to fly. So keep your vaccines up to date, or you could have to wait up to 21 to 30 days before your pet can travel. So when you decide or find out your flight date, you need to come to the VTF within 10 days of travel, but at least 48 hours before your flight. And the reason for that is, after we do our examination and complete your paperwork, that paperwork has to go to the Spanish government for approval for you to get your export certificate for your pet. If you're doing a pet shipper, the process is pretty similar, except that the pet shippers may or may not get your health certificate for you. There's a couple of pet shippers around, Premier Pet, Wolf Airlines, that will ship pets. And again, if you come talk to us, as soon as you know you're going to PCS, we'll kind of walk you through the steps and let you know the people that we know ship pets. But the most important thing is keeping those vaccines up to date and letting me know as soon as you know that you're going to PCS so that I can best advise you.
And so we could make a plan.
Yes.
And I think I would share that with everyone, that planning early is the key to success. Identifying which airline has been provided to you on your or through the travel office, determining and doing your homework on whether that includes through flights across the Atlantic or the Pacific, wherever you're going, and giving some grace to the planners out there, but I don't believe that everyone working in the travel office necessarily understands all the intricacies, having experienced this myself, and neither do the gate agents, on where and when your pets may travel. So while it may appear that you have an animal booked through several legs of the journey, in fact, across the Atlantic, that may not be true. So you need to call the airlines and confirm, plan early. For those who can be on the rotator, that's a little bit easier. Those who are not, then start looking now for a pet shipper or the process to ship your animal either in cabin if you have to purchase your own ticket, if that's what you elect to do, or under the airplane.
Yes.
And there are restrictions during the seasons on when you can do that. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So right now, especially, there is a heat embargo for most airlines. So you can't ship pets in cargo because of the heat. There are some exceptions to that rule, and for the most part, your in-cabin pets are going to be safe, but it all depends upon the airline, like you're saying, sir. So I would advise you to as soon as you learn what airline you're going to look through your airline's, number one, their crate requirements. A lot of airlines have different requirements for the crate sizes that they're allowed to accept, the minimum requirements based upon the size of your dog, and it's important to look at each airline because they do differ. The heat embargoes and the heat restrictions also differ. There are some breed restrictions, especially with the heat seasons. Our smush face breeds, so our brachycephalic breeds, you know, bulldogs, dogs with a smush face and not a long face, are going to be more restricted than dogs with longer noses, just because they tend to get heat injury more easily.
And there's a different process for getting your animal in cabin versus getting it ready for under the aircraft. Right.
So there's a different turn-in process at the airline. My portion of it is going to be pretty much the same. The expectation certificate and that sort of stuff is going to be pretty much the same. But the cage requirements, the where you turn in your animal, where you bring them in the airline is all going to be different based upon whether they're flying in cabin or under the plane.
All right. And can you talk about the change in policy for offering reimbursement for pet travel?
So the reimbursement for pet travel recently-ish got approved by the DOD. I believe they're up to $2,000 now for reimbursement for pet travel. And as far as I'm aware, that gets added to your smart voucher after you get a proof that the AMC or the Patriot Express cannot ship your animal. So get that proof from the AMC that you can't ship them with them. And then with your smart voucher, after you've completed your PCS, you'll be able to apply for that reimbursement.
Okay. As people are departing, and I think someone may find that maybe their animal can't go with them, RAWL would be the place to have that conversation,
yes.
Right?
They would need to come in and speak with us regarding their pet, and we would move forward from
yes.
there. Yes.
So as good neighbors, good members of the community, we work with RAWL. We work at the VTF, we follow the rules, we do all the right things with our animals, we keep them on leash,
yes.
and we respect the laws. Good.
Indeed.
That is my public service announcement.
Thank you, too, for what you do.
Bob Barker, spay and neuter your pets. There we go.
So were you going to ask another? I interrupted you, I'm sorry. But what you two do, thank you so much for helping out the community. I bet you'll get a lot of volunteers at RAWL. Everyone loves animals, and then, sir,
yes.
thank you for what you're doing. Haven't got my cat on a diet yet, I remember that.
I remember your cat, and she would benefit from a diet.
And so RAWL is hosting an event soon. I think you may have mentioned it. Would you like to bring that up again and
make one more? So August 16th is the National Clear the Shelters Day. So we are going to have an event with different things. It's from 12 to 3 p.m. at the RAWL building. There will be opportunities to donate. There should be snacks. There'll be, I believe there's like a jewelry thing that we're having there. What is it called? The jewelry, the permanent jewelry mm-hmm. company is going to be there. Lots of different little activities you can do and learn about volunteering.
It's amazing.
Bring your kids.
Bring your kids. All right. So I know there's many different species of animals around base. We talked about what to do if we find a wounded animal and someone's concerned, some protected species as well. Is there anything that you can offer about that we should know?
So for the protected species specifically, the iguanas, please don't touch them.
Okay.
The Spanish get very mad when anyone tries to touch them, so please don't do that. Please just leave them be and we'll be better. So if they're protected species, yes. What was your other question?
No, just if we talked about the wounded animals. They can call the police.
Yes.
And they will come get the animal. If somehow it finds its way into a box and they have it, they can take it to you. You know, I think we've seen a few...
Wink, wink.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the birds will get into arguments and fly into windows or something. So if someone has some concerns, they can call you. They can call the non-emergency line of the police.
Yes.
And someone will respond.
Yes.
Or they can take them, perhaps, to the Welfare League, and you will direct it to the appropriate place?
Yes.
Okay. That is good. So now we have a plan, and with that, nice segue talking about birds.
Captain Bryson.
Yes.
Leah, thank you so much for all that you do. It's amazing. I can't thank you enough. I love the little animals, every one of them. Sir, it's 7:53. You want to do the run through on the thing? We'll do a quick little song break, actually. You mentioned birds. Three little birds here on Afin Road, the Eagle. We are back. Morning Joe, the CO, Captain Shimelak. This is your time. Community updates. I'm excited. I've been gone for the last 2 weeks, so I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, first off, thanks to our guests today, Ian and Dylan. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I hope everyone out there appreciated the information they received today and enjoyed the show. But I would be remiss if I did not bring up the fact that if you are driving e-bikes on base, you must wear a helmet. Be careful. Be careful at the roundabouts. We have had some accidents that were completely preventable. It does get dusty, and dust and two wheels does not sometimes agree. Obey the speed limit. We will be looking. Congratulations to the Chief Petty Officers. We have 17 CPO selects and 3 Master Sergeant selectees. If you see them, congratulate them. The back-to-school fair today, 1300 to 1600 at the Exchange. We'll kick it off with a town hall. Bring your questions, log in online. I will be there. If you ever have questions, feel free to use a QR code. Send them to the ICE comments. I will get back to you or the XO, JJ Jennings, or CMC. And last but not least, let's all be good partners, community members, neighbors, friends. Let's pick up around the base, keep road beautiful. Thanks for what you do. Back to you, DJ.
It's already beautiful. We've got to keep it beautiful. Sir, one last question for you. Is this your first town hall meeting?
Yes.
Congrats.
Thank you.
In advance.
I look forward to it.
It'll be amazing.
I look forward to the opportunity to engage with the community.
I'm going to have to pay some people to be a peanut gallery today. But.
And if I don't have the answer, I will find it for you.
It's the best answer someone can get. I don't know it, but I'll get back to you.
That's right.
Sir, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, see you next month for see third show. Now that you're routine.
Hasta luego.
Bringing us out, we got America with A Horse with No Name here on AFN Road of the Eagle, serving America's best.